to read to you from the 19th chapter of Matthew. Your hospitality has certainly been appreciated. It's been good to be here with you people. I suppose now I'm really looking at the assembly here. I think this is the first time I've ever seen you people to know who belongs approximately where. But it is good to see all of you, as we say in Kansas, you local yokels. I'm going to read to you from the 19th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 16, and reading 10 verses. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, Luke says, very sorrowful. Matthew says, sorrowful. So he had great possessions. Matthew Henry says, great possessions had him. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly, that's an archaic word, with difficulty, it would be difficult, shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? If rich people can't, who wants to bother with anybody else? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mr. McCullough was saying today or yesterday, maybe yesterday, that there was never a time when there was more religion in the world than there is right now. I don't know know where he was thinking of. Probably the United States seems awfully big, and maybe he was thinking of the United States. On a worldwide level, I think this isn't really true, to fact. But anyway, he said it, and he probably was thinking of this country, and that may be true. But there is a lot of easygoing Christianity. The Lord Jesus never was interested in that kind of disciple. He could have gotten one right here, had he been. Here was someone, and he could have said, well, look, let's forget a lot of things, and you come along, I think we can help you. But he didn't. And yet, he dealt very gently with this young man. Very gently. The Lord Jesus didn't know about Dr. Will Houghton's 10 courses in soul winning, which are all right. Might do you some good. Might do you some harm. The Lord didn't use that sort of method. You know, he didn't even quote the Ten Commandments to him. Did you notice that? He did something that you good fundamentals would never do. He took a scripture kind of apart. Did you notice? You'd find fault with me if I did that. I'm glad that it's the Lord who did it. He didn't quote all the Ten Commandments. If you count what's there, he didn't quote all of them. And when he came to number 10, he never did quote that. He skipped books and books and went way over into Leviticus and quoted Leviticus 19. Why do you suppose he did that? Well, that may keep you awake until I get to that part, and I'll try to tell you. I don't know for sure, but I'll try to tell you. The first thing that you notice about this young man, he was young. And I really don't know anything in the world where you find a disadvantage to being young. There are many disadvantages to old age, and even middle age, I find. But I don't know of any disadvantage to being young. If there are any, I don't know what they are. There's a lady named Eugenia Price who wrote an awfully silly book. Means it's tough to be a teenager. She must never have been one. It's fun to be a teenager. Everybody bows and scrapes to them. And by saying it's tough, they get all the more attention, and they love it. They laugh it up. Young people's meetings, special meetings, camps for them, conferences. Oh, yes. It's fun. It's not tough being a teenager. That's baloney. Best time of your life is right now. 16, 17, 18, 19, you'll never be that age again. I don't want to be that age again. I think the man who wrote that poem is ridiculous. He said, oh, to be a boy again just for tonight. I don't want to be a boy again just for tonight. I'm through with that. But I admire youth and love them. And Christ did, I think. This young man was attracted to him. Mark tells us that the young man came running to the Savior. This is in his favor. He ran to Christ. Adam, you know, the first man ran from the Lord and hid. He wasn't very good at hiding. He got found awfully easily, but he tried. This young man wasn't of that ilk at all. He ran to the Lord, and further, he knelt to the Lord. He gave him a place. He felt that the Lord Jesus was better than he, and he acknowledged this outwardly. Kneeling to a Jew was quite a ceremony. The Jewish people are a proud people, but people aren't. Is there any nation? Are there any people who aren't proud? Well, the Jewish people are human beings. They're proud. But this rich, young man knelt to the Savior. And then we're told in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, that he was a ruler. This would be unusual if it didn't say he was rich. That explains it. He wouldn't have been a ruler when he was young had he not been rich. He must have been terribly rich. In Jewish circles, as well as in many, most Christian circles, you do get somewhere if you are young and rich. And that was the way it was with this young man. He was rich, young, and a ruler of the Jews, if you please. This also would bear out the statement of the young man himself that he had kept the Ten Commandments as best he knew how. This would bear that out, because anyone who didn't, though he was rich, would not have been a ruler. So he had kept the Ten Commandments as nearly as he knew how. And the Lord Jesus would not have encouraged the liar. I've heard preachers say, of course it isn't so. He didn't keep the Ten Commandments. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course he kept them. He said he did. Do you think the Lord Jesus would let someone give him a bald lie and not say anything about it, accept it? Of course the young man had done everything he could. He kept them. Did you notice the ones the Lord Jesus gave him? Don't kill. The young man had never killed. Don't commit adultery. Of course he hadn't committed adultery. Honor thy father and thy mother. He was young and rich. Or do you suppose he got his riches? Well, of course he honored the old man and the old lady. That's where that money came from. Of course he honored them. It was easy to keep that commandment. Easy. He certainly honored his father and his mother. And the Lord Jesus didn't controvert it when he said he had. He had. He had everything the old folks had. He had a lot in his favor. But his concept of good was wrong. He had the idea that God was interested in having us do good instead of being good. He had the idea that God is interested in the external, in what we're doing. And this young man, though he was rich, and though he had kept much of the Ten Commandments, he had kept the law as he understood it, yet he wasn't quite satisfied with all this, and he thought, there must be something more I can do. I have done a lot, I must say. But I would like to do some more. And here's an opportunity to do some more good, he said to himself. I'll see this good master. He no doubt has some unique ideas of how I can do some more good. And he went to him with this idea in mind. And it's very interesting. The Lord Jesus received the harlot, and he received the publican with open arms and spoke so gently to them. Never a rebuke. And I'm sure that the disciples waited, as disciples would, with bated breath. Look at this rich young man come to the Lord. Oh, he'll be received with open arms like the harlot was. This young man will be received gladly as the publican. And he was rebuffed. And they were amazed at the lack of capitalistic ideas of the Savior. Look at the opportunity he was missing. This man is rich. Doesn't he understand that? Yes, the Lord understood it. But the Lord understood, too, that rich people are seldom dealt with honestly. Wealth of any kind acts as a buffer to keep people at a polite reserve from reality. And it was true in the Orient. it's colossally true in this country, and all of us are rich by world standards. There isn't anyone in this room who isn't rich by world standards in this day. And this young man needed his complacency and self-satisfaction all shattered. He said he had kept the law, and he had, but the law had failed to tell the young man about his sin. The law had failed him. Because this young man, in saying, all these have I kept from my youth up, had not been really gotten to by the law, and he didn't understand himself very well either. But the Lord understood him, because he didn't quote the whole Decalogue. He left out number 10. Do you know what it is? He left out one. Purposely he left one out. Thou shalt not covet. He didn't quote that. He skipped that one, went over to Leviticus and quoted something else. Because, and he quoted this, he would have lost his man. You know, some of us, we kind of try to study psychology and take courses in that sort of thing, and then study how to win souls and learn scripture, and some of us are adept. Oh, I was where someone was doing it, and it's just tremendous. They hadn't had the customer on the line for 5 minutes, and they said, here is your problem, and quoted scripture verses for it. The Lord never did that. He wasn't going to ruin someone just to show them how terribly much theology and scripture he knew. He wasn't out to impress anyone with his intellect. He was interested in this young man. And he knew if he quoted that number 10, he would have lost his customer. And the young man could never have looked him in the eye and have said, all this have I kept from my youth up. What was he doing, a rich young man? If he hadn't coveted riches, he couldn't have said it. And the Lord didn't want him not to be able to look him in the eye and talk to him. So he didn't quote that one. Just as he dealt with the lady, and she was a lady, at the well. Oh, he knew as soon as she came up there what she was and who she was. And all the women in the town drew their self-righteous rags around themselves and said, that woman, you know. And if she sat near them, they moved. She was from the wrong side of the tracks. They'd like to see something done for her kind, of course. But the Lord Jesus sat on the well curb and talked to her. He didn't talk about moral, and he didn't talk about immorality. In such a normal way, in a natural way, they got around to these things, and he said, well, if you're really interested, go call your husband. And she hung her head and said, but I don't have a husband. He said, you're very truthful about these things. You don't have a husband. That man you have is not your husband. He didn't condemn her. He was so gentle. You want to win someone to Christ? It takes love. It takes gentleness. no one has ever prodded or pushed or hounded to the Savior. Never. Oh, I know Jonathan Edwards held people out over hell. Have you ever read that? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Well, this skull will scrape you. My, I've read it. I'm glad he set his wig on fire. As I read it, I thought, well, I'm glad he caught his wig on fire. It gave him a little respite there while they were putting out the... He held a candle, you know, too close to his wig, and while he read his sermon, he had half moon glasses, and while he read he was near sighted, and he got the candle too near his wig, set his wig on fire. He was preaching about hellfire, and they had a little demonstration right there. And so the Lord Jesus never quoted, "Thou shalt not covet." But pretty soon he turned to this young man who had his friendship and his admiration. And he said, "I'll tell you, if you want to do a little something more, I'll tell you the little thing you can do. Go and sell everything you have." Everything. I'm sure the disciples said, he didn't mean everything, he meant 40%. 30%. That sell all, the Savior said, sell all and come give. The disciples were so confused by this time. They didn't hear him say, "Come and follow me." They were stuck with that thing. Sell all? Everything? All? All. All. Oh, but there's hope in this young man. Don't you believe, Jameson, Fawcett, Brown? I usually do. But don't you, at this point, he wasn't lost. This was the beginning. There's hope for this young man. Look what happened. This rich young man had never been faced with reality in his life. No one had ever challenged him. You don't challenge rich people. You're afraid to. You're so glad to get them to sit down in the pew. My goodness, you'll do anything to keep hold of them. Anything. Bend over backwards. Carry them in and out. Do anything. But Christ won't. Not at all. He just won't. He said, "Just go and sell everything, youngster. And then come back and we'll talk these things over and you can follow me." And that young man had never had anybody talk to him like that in the synagogue. They were so glad if he dropped in his shekel that they just bowed and scraped and made him a ruler. And we're so thankful. You will come again, young man, won't you? But look what happened. Oh, Christ got far with him. When the young man heard that, he heard it. He had never been told anything before. He heard this. He heard that saying. He went away, not like he'd ever gone from the synagogue in all his young life. He had always gone out complacent and self-satisfied and so happy that he had done more for God. One more shekel has been dropped in the pot for the Lord Almighty. He went away happy every time. Not this time. He went away rich, but very sorrowful, Luke says. The Gospels don't all agree as to what happened here, but they all agree with this. The young man went away sorrowful. This is the happiest word in this story. Sorrowful. He'd never been sorrowful before. Nobody ever shook him up before. You just don't do that with rich young men who are rulers. But Christ did. He went away very sorrowful. And then the curtain is dropped there. And then because it's dropped there, everyone says, "And so he was lost and went to hell." Don't you believe it? If he went away very sorrowful, what happens when people get stirred up that way? Very sorrowful. Because he had been brought face to face, "I am a rich person. And if I'm rich, I'll either have my riches or I'll have Christ. Which am I going to have? I've got to face this thing. He had never been brought to that. And Christ had the audacity to bring him to that. He went home sorrowful, very sorrowful. He had to make a decision. Rich people don't make many decisions. I know a man in Wichita, and he hires the people from Yale and Harvard, and he does. He won't have anyone in the office who aren't from Yale or Harvard. He brags about it. If they're good enough for the federal government, they're good enough for me, he says. And he hires those people, and they make his decisions for him. He doesn't have to make decisions. This young man had to make a decision. He was very sorrowful. It's sorrow that brings us to repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. This is the beginning. You know, God never begins with people. He doesn't hang on. He keeps on. He works on you. Did you know that? Did God ever get a little sorry? Has God ever made you sorry for something? He did with this youngster. He found out that all of his money and houses and lands and investments and worldly possessions, it just wouldn't do. He had to make a decision. They were too big. Too big. He had coveted. He wanted this. And this is good. Christ didn't say there was anything wrong with this young man being rich. He didn't say that. But he said there was a lot wrong with that rich young man. The riches were in the wrong place. He was letting these riches keep him, which is good, keep him from the very best. Christ, eternal life. Some souls shrivel and shrink in proportion to the size of their bank account or wallet. The picture changes. This young man who was so energetic and ran toward the Savior and knelt and said these lovely things now walks away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Christ brought him to a crossroad. And this happens when you meet Christ. This happens. He brought him to a point of decision. This happens when you meet the Savior. He brought him at a place where he had to decide one thing or another. And this happens when Christ comes into view. Then I want to consider the comments of the Savior. After he dealt with this young man, the disciples were just amazed. They said, well, if this young man can't be saved, if he goes away, if he's missed this golden opportunity, who then can be saved? Who? The Lord Jesus said, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Salvation is of the Lord. And God can take up any old stick and make something of them. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not by doing good, not by keeping commandments, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not good people, sinners, Christ died for us. For us. Us sinners. And so far as God is concerned, that rich young man had to find out how poor he could be and had to be separated from his riches, you might say, so he could come in his poverty to Christ and be made rich and have true riches, eternal life. And that same choice is yours and is mine. And it's just as real today as it was then. We make it appear that the Lord Jesus is so anxious for disciples that it doesn't matter much what you believe or what you do or what you bring along with you. Just come along and join the happy band. And the children sing about it in Sunday school, even. It's getting more difficult to join the Masons than it is to join church. They have higher standards. But Christ demands submission, devotion. Christ wants us to count the cost. The Lord Jesus wants disciples, wants followers, wants believers who put him first above riches, whatever your little old riches are. Some of the richest people in the world are folk who have $14. You know? And they hold on to their little old whatever it is, whatever your riches are. It's just something that's little. And it's between you and Christ. You throw it away. Sell all. That's what he's saying. Sell out. And those are real Christians. When I come to an end of myself, when I come to a place where nothing in this world matters, the opinions people have, those matter not. The ideals that I've had, those are cast overboard. The possessions that I've had, those are cast away. Relationships, those count for nothing. I want Christ. That's when people become real Christians. Is there someone here and you need Christ? Not religion, but Christ. You're sick of sin. You've had your riches. You've had your little old position, wherever it is, whatever it is. Christ says, you sell all, give it to someone, follow me. Are you following the Lamb? He's looking for people like that. Oh, salvation is easy. It was purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, and you do nothing but come empty. And that was the problem here. This young man just couldn't get empty. He just couldn't. But I think he did. Because any young man who is rich is no fool. They're shrewd. Rich young men He had to be shrewd. Because there are folk who are very adept at taking away one's riches. And he held on, apparently. He was shrewd. He went away very sorrowful. He thought this over. This isn't a good deal. He said, I want Christ. And that's what I hope you'll say tonight. If you're here without him, you don't need creed. You don't need doctrine. You need a person, a Savior, Jesus Christ. He came into the world. He hung on a cross. Our sin was laid upon him for the specific purpose of paying a debt we could not pay. We must come to him in poverty. Sell all, he said, and follow me. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bears them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free.